started here. All right, this is how to build a better business, and we go through a whole series. This is our free meetup that we do once a month, and we do this to introduce everything to the folks that are out there. And so Sherry is my co-host, my co-mod, and while I'm thinking about it, I'm going to click on her three little dots there and make her my co-host. And I always pick a couple of folks, so I'm going to also do Linda. And the reason we do that, and I always say this on every call, is in case you get bumped off, somebody, your co-host can let you back in if you're doing Zoom. So if you're doing Zoom as part of your business, it's just good best practices to have a co-host lined up in case you get bumped off. Ask me how I know this. I was traveling and in a hotel room, and I had a group where no one was my co-host. They were all newbies and tapping in for the first time on short-term rentals, and the internet at the hotel bumped me out, and I couldn't get back in. I just was hanging in the waiting room, and no one there was made a co-host could let me in. And it was toward the end of the call, so I wasn't too concerned about it. But later, I listened to the replay, and it was pretty funny because one of the guys was like, "What do we do now? Where did she go?" You could tell they were just like the bus without a driver. So that was my lesson to always have a co-host. And I still sometimes forget, and Linda's good at reminding me if she's on the call. She says, "Do you want to make a co-host before you go any further?" So that's lesson number one today, is have a co-host if you're on a Zoom call. This is build a better business. And so we talk about what is your value proposition, meaning what is your promise to your audience? It's that elevator speech, that 30-second commercial. And I went to a meetup the other night, and it was a large real estate meetup. And so there were a lot of people in the room, and there were folks that haven't been through a class like this or even one similar to this. And they had no idea what a VPS, a value proposition, a 30-second commercial, their elevator speech, they had no idea what that was. And so when you walked up and said, "Hey, I'm Kathy, what is it you do?" In the real estate industry, they launched this long textbook explanation of what they did and how they did it and where they got started. And after a while, you know, you're looking for the exit. It was kind of like, I don't want to be stuck with this one person all evening. I'm here to network, and I wanted to meet several people, and I really didn't have time. You know, this was like a one-on-one interview that some of these people thought they were doing. And so then as I tried to break away, and I was like, "Oh, that's great. That's really nice. You know, here's my electronic business card, and maybe we can connect and chat another time where we can talk more about what it is that you do." And but I see John over here, so I'm gonna go say hi to John. And when I started to walk away, they followed me and still kept telling me. And then in 1999, I was able to blah 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 blah. And then in 2000, I was, and so don't do that. And so the first thing that you really need to practice, and you need to get down on paper, is what is your promise to your audience? What is your proper, you know, your value proposition statement? And if somebody asks you, you know, at a dinner party, if they ask you at a restaurant, if they ask you at a yard party, if they ask you at a book club, wherever you happen to be, and somebody says, "Oh my gosh, Sherry, what is it that you do?" You want to make a comment and say something that makes your audience lean in and say, "What does that mean?" Or, "Tell me more about that." You want them to ask for more. You don't want to constantly beat them over the head with the information as they're running away. And so I just tell folks that I'm a passive income coach, and that I help people create income without having to punch a time clock. And everybody is like, "What? I want to have income without punching a time clock." And it makes them lean in and say, "How do you do that? Tell me more about that." And it opens up the conversation if they're interested. And if they're not interested, then they can say, "Oh, that's nice." And then I say, "Oh, what is it that you do?" And, you know, "Oh, I'm an attorney," or "I'm a doctor," or whatever. And the conversation then can go from there. So you want to make it enough that they ask, but not enough that you make them run away. And so again, my pet peeve, especially with attorneys, how many of us know, you know, attorneys do so many different things. You know, there's divorce attorneys, there's criminal attorneys, there's real estate attorneys. And so I really hate that when I ask, you know, an attorney, and I say, "Well, what is it that you do?" "Oh, I'm an attorney." How can I give you a referral? Do you do divorces? Do you do criminal? Do you do real estate? And so it's helpful if you practice that VPS. So, because what you're telling folks in your VPS is, who do you know that I can help? That's what you're trying to tell them. You're trying to say, who is it that you know that I can help? Well, I help folks create passive income without having to punch a time clock. Oh, my nephew needs to talk to you. That's a perfect response, see? Because now they're thinking of people that they want to connect with me. And that's how you're going to start building your tribe, is when your VPS attracts the right people so that they know who to send over to you. And if an attorney goes, oh yeah, I'm a real estate attorney. Oh, well, guess what? One of my lanes is real estate, and I've got all kinds of questions for a real estate attorney. So now all of a sudden I can connect with him because I know more about what he does and what his wheelhouse is. So practice that VPS. Then you're going to tell your story. You're going to sit down and write your story out. You're going to make your hero's journey. And we've gone over this so many times, like once upon a time, here's where I was, but then I discovered this, and now I want to help you discover it as well. So flesh out your hero's journey and use your story. So no matter where you are, if somebody needs a speaker last minute, or if you're, nervous, even at a yard party, and all of a sudden somebody does lean in on your VPS and says, tell me more, you're not like, and all of a sudden you're fumbling because you don't really know how to tell them more. And so if you practice your hero's journey, then you can tell them more. And again, I say this all the time, and I had a conversation with an actual storyteller, and he loved this, where I said, your story is like an accordion. You can write out your story and make it as involved as possible, but then it's like an accordion. You can shorten it up to tell your story. If you only have 20 minutes, you can tell it in 20 minutes. If you have an hour, you can tell it in an hour. And for me, because my story encompasses several different avenues and lanes that I was in over the years, once I get to know who my audience is, I know kind of where to stop with my story and spend time. So, for example, the girls that know me know that I have a background in hotel management. I have first of all, I was a single mom working two minimum wage jobs. So if I'm talking to single moms, I'm going to stay in that part of my story longer. But then I was in corporate America. I was in hospitality management, so I could hang over that portion of the story. I was in cosmetology. I could stay in that portion of the story. And then I was in real estate investing, and I can stay in that part of the story. So you just spend more time in the part of the story that connects you to your audience that you're at currently. And so from there, we talk about serving. Once you know what your value is to your audience and you have your story, then you're going to actually start finding places to tell your story. So you're going to look for somebody that you can serve. So I look for somebody that has the same audience that I'm looking for, and then I see where they have openings. So if it's a speaker, for example, Sherry knows Wendy. When I met Wendy, Wendy has a speakers bureau. And in her speakers bureau is a ton of entrepreneurial people. Well, I teach this course, Build a Better Business, which is perfect for entrepreneurial folks. And so I started serving Wendy when she has any type of event. Anytime I can be there and help drag tables and set up chairs and stuff, gift bags, whatever it is that I could do, I try to do to serve her. And guess what? She notices. Next thing, she's like, everybody, I want you to meet my good friend Kathy. So all of a sudden, I'm on her radar because I'm there trying to help her with her event. And I'm not expecting to get anything out of it. But once I'm there, all of a sudden, she introduces me to all of her folks. And so now her audience knows me. And she did that on a call just this week. We were talking, and she was like, oh, Kathy, I want you on my podcast. I want, so she's invited me to do all these things with her and put me in front of her audience. So in essence, I get to borrow her audience, but in turn, she gets to borrow my audience. So it's a win-win. And so serving is selling. That's how you're going to sell your product. Because then once you get there, you're going to tell your story, because your storytelling is your marketing, and you've already practiced that value that you're bringing to the audience. So you see how it all just kind of fits together. And then from there, folks are going to say, okay, what do you got? How am I going to connect with you? I like what your value is. I like the story you told. I like the fact that you're here helping. We want to work with you. What do you got? Well, what do you got? Have you already put together a course or an offer, or what are you going to do with these newfound clients that want to work with you? How are you going to have them work with you? So now you've got to get your products in order. And so that's where we talk about how to set up your website. And from there, what is your first base offer, your second base, your third base? Finally, what is your home run? Once you're to that point and you have those things in place, now you're ready to start marketing out to the masses. And so again, it's like building a house. You have to start with the foundation. You have to start with what do you want to bring to the audience? And then what is your story? How are you going to serve with that story? Where are you going to send folks when you send them back to your products and services? And so you're building this business out. And so now, once you get to that point, you're ready to sprinkle it out across social media. So today's month, we're talking about social media. Then in October, we're going to be talking about blogging and how blogging can point back and get folks to know, like, and trust you and point back to your business. Then we're going to talk about podcasting and finally public speaking. And so those are all the ways that you can get in front of your audience so that they get to know, like, and trust you. So today is social media. So I want to start and go around the room and find out what everybody is doing for their social media currently, and what is your favorite go-to platform for social media. Now, Sherry is my co-host, my co-mod, and Sherry has been working on her business about the same length of time I've been working on mine. We've known each other for a while. And Sherry, what is your go-to for your social media?
Right now, it's podcasting.
Okay.
My Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter have kind of dwindled because I just intentionally don't have the time to devote to it and finish this book that I'm working on. So I have been bumping up podcasting. So I ha now have two podcasts. One
Okay.
is an interview-based podcast where I'm interviewing people about products and services to help kids with a disability in writing. The other one is a quick thing that I record. So I record it on Otter AI on my phone.
Okay.
I keep it to about 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, and I share that intervention via podcast. And so those are the two that I have currently, and Donnelly and I are talking about a third one. So right now, podcasting is where I am leading people. And so I'm getting out there, and my next venture is to be a guest on podcasts so that
Okay.
I can share the message even bigger than where I am, but I
Now,
had to
my
take it.
question to you though is, are these podcasts open to the public, or are they just for your membership group?
They're open to the public, both of them.
Okay. So once you make the podcast, is there a way right in your podcast platform where you can share it to social media so that people start to go, oh, let me click on this and listen to this so that they do get to know, like, and trust you?
There is. Do I effectively do that? No. I'm still learning the app that I'm using, but it's a powerful app.
Okay.
It's one of the more robust apps that are out there, but I don't necessarily use it effectively. I've been looking at how to maximize the SEO on my show notes right now.
Okay. Well, put it on your list because it's an easy thing to transition, that once you do the podcast and you get the show notes the way you want them, and you're kind of moving along and you get into a rhythm, it's very easy to just add that next layer to where every time you do a recording, it automatically will go out to your social media. And all of a sudden, Sherry will be everywhere. I remember when Linda decided she was going to do a program. What was it, for 30 days? You were going to be out there every day. Linda was everywhere. I saw her everywhere that 30 or 60 days. Linda, tell us about that. Oh, you're on mute.
Sorry about that. It was a 30-day challenge, and I did stick with it longer than that, thank goodness. But I have taken a hiatus, so I need to get back to it. But yeah, if you are putting it in all the places, it you do get seen more. And I agree with you, Sherry. Really paying attention to the SEO is going to be in your favor. And if there's a way for you to put it on YouTube and really play with the keywords and all of that, people will find you a day and night around the clock. Based on trying to solve a problem. And given that what you do is solving big problems, important problems, people are, burning the midnight oil trying to find solutions. And once they find you, then they can start consuming your information and getting involved with your products if it's a fit.
And Sherry, I saw where you just put in the chat that you did Monday through Friday in August. Did that mean in August you did social media Monday through Friday or the podcasting?
Podcast. I
Okay.
interviewed 23 people
Oh my goodness.
and published Monday through Friday. Every Friday was just John Lee and I,
Okay.
and we did a reveal on the characters that are in our new book and the new platform that this book is going to have to offer. So I've been working a lot on my messaging on this new platform because I really think I now have a proprietary product.
I am so happy for you, Sherry. I've watched Sherry just move through all of this. It's just amazing to watch. I love it. Sherry, you're a rock star. I love that you're doing all this. And yes, there for a while I was seeing Sherry all over social media, and then Sherry, I haven't
And
seen
now
you.
all of a sudden this summer
Yeah.
I just vanished.
Yeah. So again, I think once you fine-tune that, you can, at the click of a couple of buttons, I think those can go right out onto your social media. Sarah, how about you? Tell us a little bit about what you're doing and what kind of business are you in, and where are you in what is your favorite social media?
All right. I started a business as a professional home organizer.
Okay.
About like 4 or 5 years ago, I excuse me, I have a website, and I know that people are finding me from that, so that's great. I am connected, I'm on Facebook, connected with friends only, and I've had that's word of mouth. I've just have had plenty of work, but I'm getting ready to quit my part-time job and go full-time organizing. So
Okay.
sort of like now I can now I have the time to like optimize and do some of this stuff. I'm generally not a fan of social media. When I first started, I got a Twitter and I got an Instagram and I would make a post and then I just fizzled out because I had plenty of work. I didn't need it. I wasn't inspired to do it. I don't gravitate towards social media anyway. I'm a Xennial or something.
Get it. I get it.
Yeah, and so Facebook, I'm on all the time because all my friends are there, and that's where events happen. That's where event pages happen. So, but I don't think it's great for business because I don't want that to be a public, that's a private thing. And so that's my inner circle. So I really don't have a favorite. I don't like it. I'm being dragged into this kicking and screaming.
I get it. I get it. Well, the one thing for all of us, no matter what our business is that we have to keep the pipeline full, because I don't know about you, but if you see a business that finally kind of just goes away, it doesn't take long because we have so much stuff coming at us. It doesn't take long before we don't even remember it. And I'll give you an example. I started out in the salon industry. Oh gosh, now I've been retired for about 5 years, so it's probably been 30 years ago because I was in the business for at least 25. And I decided, long story short, that I was going to be the go-to salon in our city. And I became that. We were the largest salon. I had a staff of 12. I had more staff than any other salon. Most salons in our city had two or three hairstylists. I had 12, and we had tanning, and we had a whole pedicure room, and we had spa rooms, and I mean, it was the largest salon in the area. and we were the go-to salon. And I had a line of staff, a line of stylists that wanted to work in our salon. And we kind of were the thing. We were the destination. And I retired in December of 2017. And I turned my whole salon building, because I was all about real estate, I turned my whole salon building into an office building. And some of the girls, I helped them start their own salon. Another one, she started a salon down the street in a smaller scale. And some of my girls went there. And so I helped everybody get to where they were going to land. And then my building turned into an office building, and I no longer was a salon owner. Well, I went to our festival. We have a big Labor Day festival every year. I went to the Labor Day festival. And of course, I ended up in this group of folks, and everybody was like, "Kathy, oh my gosh, it's Kathy." I look around and it's a ton of my past clients from this salon. And they're like, "Oh, Kathy's salon was the best place. It was, you know, it was wonderful. It was amazing. Kathy, we wish you were still doing that, blah, blah, blah." And there was a group of folks with them that said, "Where was that?" And they're like, "It's that building right here, the office." And they're like, "What was it called?" They had never heard of me, and it's been 5 years. So, you know, out of sight, out of mind. So my lesson in that is that it doesn't take long once you decide to stop doing something. It takes, let me say this, it's a lot harder getting to where you want to be than it is to close it down. When you close something down, it disappears rather quickly. When you're building it up, it takes years to build it up. But when you close it down, it disappears rather quickly. So what happens when you get off of the social media or you take too long of a break, it's almost like starting over to get that social media following built back up. And so it's kind of like losing weight, you know? I can put weight on just like that, but boy, when it comes time to take it off, woo. So you don't want to stop on your lifestyle of keeping your weight down, because as soon as you put it back on again, which seems to happen overnight, it takes you forever to get it back off. And it's the same with social media. Once you're off of social media, it takes a long time to build it back up, to get back to where you are. It's easier to just keep some level of appearances out there, even if you're not super energized behind it and you're not all excited to jump out of bed every morning and do all your social media posts. I still recommend that you get it on your calendar to do your posting, even if it's the minimum, but at least get something out there maybe 3 times a week minimum. So what are your thoughts on that? Linda.
Well, there's something that gets talked about a lot, which is called the flywheel effect. And if you think of a big, heavy metal flywheel, it isn't doing its job. It isn't doing anybody any good when it's just sitting there inert. But it takes a lot of effort to start getting it to spin. Once you get a certain amount of momentum, it's as if it's spinning on its own. But and then you just apply a very minimal amount of effort to it to keep it spinning. But getting it going initially is a lot of effort.
So that's exactly what we're talking about. So I would suggest, and again, Sherry, for you, it's going to be super simple, is to just go into your blogging platform and see where, you know, just take an hour or so. And just see where those social media icons are and just make it connect and have it automatically post, you know, the podcast post as soon as you release one. And that'll take care of your social media right there. So as long as you're doing the podcast, you're going to be out there. And I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to click on those videos. If I have some downtime and I see something that triggers my interest, I'll hang out there for a minute and listen to the videos. And again, I've picked up following a couple of folks just from doing that. And that's, of course, what's going to happen with your audience as well. So, Linda, how about you? What are some ways that you can just stay out there a minimum of 3 times a week without a lot of effort and at least have a presence out there?
Okay, that isn't the question I thought you were going to ask. You can talk about things that are on your mind. You can take an experience share the story and apply a lesson that's relevant to what you do is one way of doing it. If there is a product that you use and want to recommend, particularly as an affiliate, you could do a video talking about what you love about it or five things that people need to know about whatever or why they need this or whatever. And that can be a way of sharing value and pointing to some of your affiliate links. Those are a couple of things right off the top of my head.
I like to just take the events that I go to and make sure that I post the events that I go to and then just liken it back to my courses and masterminds, you know, like, hey, we're talking real estate tonight. Here's where we are. And every time I'm out and about in my community and folks run into me, they go, oh my gosh, Kathy, you're everywhere. You're just out there all the time doing something for your business and doing something for other people. And all I'm doing is just sharing my life. I'm just being authentic with what I'm doing. And because I am out there helping folks and I'm talking about passive income, that's what I do all the time. And so I just share the events that I go to and it just keeps me front and center with everybody that I'm trying to attract back to my business. Sarah, where do your customers or clients actually come from? Right. If you're not on social media, how do they find you? How do they know about you?
Let's see. They are word of mouth mostly. I'm the only organizer in my large group network. And then I think my website is on a few like organizer conglomerate sites. I think people are but also like if they're just looking for organizers in Columbus, they're able to get to my website. And so I know that's out there working for me. I did want to comment though, when I first started, I was doing like a weekly blog post with like an organizing tip, and that would be the social media post. It's a blog post, post that to all the social medias, but I kept a little book just for ideas for that. So it was never like, oh, what am I going to do this week? It's like, no. If I were to do it, I would open up this notebook and there's like 30 things I've already thought of that would make a good video. So a box to put the little scraps of paper in or a digital list or whatever, I think is good for that. That way as you're just random things, you can capture them and make sure that you're like, you've got a, big library of stuff to pull from.
And so you were doing blogging. And again, that's part of the marketing. Cause when we get to this part of Build a Better Business, it's about your social media. But we go past that in the next following months. We talk about the blogging and the podcasting and the public speaking. I did a speaking gig last night. And of course, I posted about that. So as you're doing the blogging, the podcasting, the speaking, you can post back to the social media on those things. So I like that you're doing a blog. I like that Sherry's doing the podcast. It all comes together so that folks get to see you're out there doing whatever that thing is that you're doing. And it attracts them to you. And so what networking group are you talking about, Sarah? You said that you're the only organizer inside your networking group.
I guess I just have a lot of friends. I'm in a lot of circles. I'm in a lot of different friend groups.
Okay.
So like I go to all the experimental noise music shows, those people, okay. Anyone needs an organizer. I went to grad school at OSU. I know I'm working for all these art.
Okay. Programs.
Like I just told everybody in my life what I was doing and enough people need me that I've been able to feel confident enough to go full-time doing this. Cause I put like zero where, I mean like the website does a thing, and I put zero time a week into my business. And that's ridiculous.
I love it. Well, and you know what? As soon as you said, I'm a home organizer, I was leaning in. I'm like, where are you located? I'm like in Canal and Chester. I need you.
Right?
I get it. Yes. Your product is so needed that everybody's leaning in as soon as they hear what it is that you do. And, you know, and I've got a girlfriend. She's lost her husband. She sold her house. She moved into an apartment. She downsized. The apartment was still too expensive. She was there a year. Now she's trying to downsize even more. And she's just a mess. And she's like, Kathy, you got to come and help me. I don't know what to do with all this stuff. I don't have near the space. I've now downsized twice in the last 12 months. She said, I'm just a mess. So I go over to her. I'm thinking, how bad can it be? So I go over to her house. She has boxes and clothes on the floor. And she's like, I don't know what to do with all you. You got to help me. And I'm like, I don't know how to help you. See, so now I'm like, you need to talk to Sarah.
Yeah.
So I get it. I get it. And so that's what we're trying to do is we're trying to all be Sarah. We're trying to have a product and a service where folks lean in because they get what you're bringing to the table. They get it. They understand what it is you're doing and how you can help them. Because at the end of the day, when somebody says, oh, what is it that you do? They might have a true interest in you as a person if they're friends of yours. But if they're a stranger out at a networking group, what they really are asking is, what can you do for me? That's what they're really asking you. What can you do for me? When they say, well, what is it that you do? They're really saying, what can you do for me? What service do you have that I might need? And so that way you have to frame what you're doing so that they can relate to it. Okay. I want to show you, and again, if you're not on social media a lot, or like Sarah, if you do it as a personal site, then this might not apply to you. But if yours is public, which mine is, when you scroll down, the one thing that I want to instill in everyone is please, please, please have your intro and have your bio current. How many people is this not current? So this is the one thing that I want to mention on social media. Have your intro. This is where I only have so many sentences or so many words that I can put in there, but it's a shortened version of my VPS, of my value proposition statement. See, choose a healthier lifestyle and develop passive income to create freestyle living. So it's a short version of my promise. And then I've got my website right there in the intro. So if somebody just gets that far, they can click and it takes them right over to my website. But then everything in my bio works. So everything where you say, at this year, I became the CEO of that, or I work there or whatever. Every one of my bio links actually link to something. It actually links out to my business page. And so, Sarah, you could start a business page off of your private profile. Do you have a business page already?
I don't think so.
But you could do that and you could link it right here. You know, what your product is, and just link it right to your business page. And then you could promote that business page for your business. And what it does is it gives you, no like and trust factor. When folks say, oh, let me check her out, then they're like, oh yeah, look what she does. And then that's where you can put the blog, that's where you can put the tips, that's where you can, you know, and you can start creating a presence there on social media. So anyway, all of mine come down here, all my pages link, and then you can put in actual websites. And so I have my electronic business card, I have my blog, I have my website, I even have my short-term rental, because that's one of the things I do, and then all my long-term rentals. So I have all of my websites listed as well. So when folks are looking to see what I do, it becomes very clear on what I'm about just when they look at that section of my social media. The other thing is here, you can make a post, and I don't know, I'm sure you might be already aware of this. When you go to the three little dots on any post, and this one's already pinned, so I want to show you one that isn't. Here's the one that I just did. There's me speaking last night. So I just take an event that I look like I'm shocked, like, I don't know what I was talking about, but I talk with my hands. So somebody captured this picture of me talking last night, and this is the group. There's Mark giving me the look. So anyway, my girlfriend took these pictures, so they're kind of funny, but I'm totally transparent. I don't try to hide. I don't try to dress it up so that it, you know, it's whatever it is what I put out there. I even had a girl the other day, met me for the first time. She goes, oh my God, you look just like your pictures. And I'm like, aren't you supposed to look like your pictures? And she's like, people have so many filters that you, she said, I can't believe you look just like your pictures. But when you take a post and click on these three dots here, you can pin it. And when you pin a post, what it does is it stays at the top of your thread. It does not disappear as people are scrolling. It always is the top post. So I created one and answered the question everybody asked me. They go, what is it that you do anyway? What is it that you do? And so what I did is I just created a post that said, this is what I do. So many folks have asked, what do you do? And I just put there what I do. And then I put the link to my electronic business card. And then I pinned it to the top. And it says unpin post. And that before you pin it, it'll say to pin it. So I pinned it. Now, if I unpin it, it'll disappear back down in my thread on the date that I posted it. But because I pinned it, it stays at the top of that thread all the time. And so when somebody first meets me, and I met a bunch of folks last night at a networking event, and if they happen to go to my Facebook page and go, oh, let's click on Kathy and let's, who is she? I kind of liked what she had to say last night. Let me see how I can connect with her. They're going to get my .com link right over here in my bio. They're going to get that first thing when they go to my Facebook page. They're going to get this, the KathyBenner.com. But then if they go, oh, let me just scroll down and see what she's about, they're going to get this right at the top. Well, what do you do? Well, of course, if they're meeting me for the first time, they're probably going to stop and read that. And then it can take them right to my business card, because they may not go down that whole bio to get to those links, but they're going to scroll. Have you ever done that? Look somebody up, scrolled through their first few posts to see, and you get a flavor of who they are and what they're about, just scrolling down through their first, you know, maybe 10 minutes or so, you're going to scroll. So if you scroll on mine, you get, and you see where I capitalized the first sentence, because a lot of people, they're into the bullet. They don't read the whole post. They're into the bullet points. So Happy House Hunters Fixing. Oh, what is that about? Oh, well, if you're into real estate, you might stop and read that one and go, where was this? She spoke. What is this all about? But then if you keep scrolling down, see, there was no boots on the ground tonight. That was just an announcement. Awesome meetup, you know, and again, it talked about where I was. I'm just posting an event. We missed you. Labor Day weekend. There's Linda. There you are, Linda. So, and see, she looks just like her picture.
There I am.
There you are. So I'm always looking at investment properties. Here I am out at an open house. See, and here again, thank you for making my day special. I'm just posting the events that I go to. Here's this week. Here's the list of events. There's the dates on where I'm going to be all week. Okay. So I'm just posting that. We love our guests. This is from the guest house, because that's one of the things I do is the guest house. Silver Springs, Fleetwood Mac experience. We were at the Canal Winchester Festival. So again, I'm just posting on social media my life. I'm just being authentic. I love meeting up with other business owners. Here's one of the businesses that's actually in the building where my salon used to be. This is the business that's in there now. Somebody said we look like sisters. I guess maybe we do look a little bit alike. And so then here's where we had a gal join the actual bloggers mastermind. And so I wanted to celebrate her. And now here's where, and this Sarah's like what you were doing. This is where I posted my blog. And this is a guide to buying your first investment property. And here is another one about, perfection is the enemy of progress. Again, these are just blog posts. Okay. And again, here's another networking event. So it's just what I'm doing every day. Here's where one of my lanes is health and fitness. And so here's where I got my steps in that day. And so decided to post that. So anyhow, you get the idea that it's pretty simple to stay out in front. And people say all the time, oh my gosh, Kathy, I just see you everywhere. And they don't see me everywhere, because last night our event only had maybe, I'm saying maybe 15 folks attended the event last night. So only 15 people saw me there. But when I posted it, now everyone else that's following my post are like, oh my gosh, she's everywhere. Now they weren't there, but they still saw that I was there. Does that make sense? And so it's really not too hard to stay out front, but just make sure that whatever social media you're using, whether it's on YouTube or Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn, go take a minute and update those. So when was the last time that you updated and made sure your social media was current? Sherry, how long ago was it that you actually visited your social media to make sure that all your links were working and everything was current? How long ago?
I don't know. That's on my to-do list for the end of the month. I've been making a lot of changes in the marketing. So I'm trying to do that in the background before I make the changes up front.
Okay. I get it. But make sure you get that on your list. So Sherry, I'm glad to hear that it's on your list. Sherry mentioned you get out in public more than I do. I need to get out there more often. That's a tough one. And your post, Sherry, was to Sarah about, do you have a course to scale your business? That was a question. Do you have a course?
When you say have a course, I don't even, wait. What is that? Can you rephrase that?
Sure. Do you have an online a presence that actually allows people to learn about your products? Kind of like what Kathy has. If Kathy goes into her back end stuff and shows a little bit about her academy, she has a course that goes along with this free meetup. Also has a mastermind that goes along with it. So she has three tiers. I have a course that goes along with mine. Linda, I believe, has a course that goes with hers. So it's something that you can create. So what you do with a course is all those questions that you get answered on a daily basis. What is the best way to organize my utensil drawer? Here are some ways to do it. So that's just something to consider. I will put a plug in right now. Amy Porterfield, who is the guru of digital course creation, is opening her digital course program this week. And if you go to Pete.
What's her name again?
And Amy.com. I think it's PeteandAmy.com. You can consider registering for it. It's $47 right now, and it opens next week. So if that will give you some ideas on what that digital course could look like, sometimes that will lead people into that one-on-one with you, but it also can be a resource that takes some of that bulk. Where if you're overwhelmed and having so much work that you can't keep up, it's a place that they can get started before they work with you one-on-one.
Cool.
Does that help?
Yeah. I think, teaching. I was a teacher for 10 years and that's a good part of it. And one of the, fun parts. So I see that like creating a course seems to be like on the path of like things that independent online people do. What's the platform though for that? Like I know, so we were talking today about social media, but like, so I could say Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, but like when you talk about hosting a course, like are there centralized websites where you just host your course? Mm-hmm.
There are several. I'm sure Kathy can fill in some blanks here. She uses Teachable. There's also another product called Thinkific. I am using Mighty Networks and Kajabi. I am trying to transition to solely Kajabi, but I am in the process of transitioning that. Kajabi is not where I would recommend starting. That is a down the road kind of thing. I believe Thinkific and Teachable are the least expensive beginner course platforms.
And I'm
There
on
are several
Teachable.
others.
Yeah, I'm on Teachable, and it really is pretty robust once you learn how to move, maneuver around in Teachable. It is pretty robust. And so I've decided to stay there. I did revisit that just recently when my website design was going to disappear and I had to move my website over. And I like that now I have everything all in one platform, my website and my courses and the masterminds, everything is in one platform. Linda, you have an all-inclusive platform as well. What one are you using?
Yeah, mine is with a company called the Home Business Academy, and I'm an affiliate for them. I use their product exclusively. And one thing that's nice is you can create your website, your landing pages, funnels, and have a course area as well, and your calendar. It's like all the stuff for $25 a month. It's unbelievable. And I'd be happy to share information if you're interested at all in that.
Yeah, it's important to do a little bit of homework on the front end, Sarah, before you start investing time and effort building something out, because it is like building a house. You are building this out. And once you get it built out, then you start, you know, somebody goes, oh gosh, I built my house in this neighborhood and I really would have rather been in that neighborhood. It's a little hard just move it all over. And so do a little research on the front end, but don't get stuck where you just keep thinking, oh, I can't decide, I can't decide, I can't decide, and not take that first step. At some point you have to pull the trigger if that's where you want to head is creating something online like that. And so I will very quickly here, I'm just going to show you what mine looks like. This is what my homepage looks like on my Teachable, which is now my website. And so here across the top, and I have to move all our faces here. Here across the top, you can see all of my links, and these are the different lanes that I'm in. And so if you click on a lane, then you can see where I have a free meetup, a course, and the mastermind. And each lane has that. This one's the health and wellness. This is the real estate investors. And so each one, and you see where I've branded it by color coding. And so each one has a free meetup, a course, a mastermind. And here's for short-term rentals, a free meetup, course, and mastermind. But here is the fun part. So pay attention there. If I go over to my Facebook and I've got everything in the way. I can get it to go to my groups, you'll notice that I'm using the same graphics. Here's my Happy House Hunters page. Remember, I said you could have a business page. Each one of my lanes has its own Facebook page. So here is my Happy House Hunters page, but you'll notice and see, here's where folks that are in our group are posting. See, so it's not just me posting. I'm building a tribe here. Here's a gal that's, you know, she's got these cupboards for sale, but it's in the Happy House Hunters group. So you can see where, here's a page, but it matches the same graphics that I'm using in the school. And when you go over, you know, to any other social media, I'm using the same graphics across the board. And so one of the other ones that I have, because I have my free meetups and I'm trying to encourage folks to attend the free meetups. And so if you go to my meetup page, see if I can get out of here. And guess what? There's my Happy House Hunters again, same graphics. And I've got 623 members in this one in Meetup. So anyway, my point of that is that you can make all of this kind of match. Go back to my homepage here. Then I've got my solopreneurs and entrepreneurs, and this is our Build a Better Business. So this is where we are today in the free meetup. But I have a course and I have a mastermind for this particular event. And it's the same thing when you come over to Meetup, there's the same graphic. And if you go to my Facebook page, it'll all match. And there it is on Facebook. It has its own group. And in this group, where are my numbers? I always go to my phone, so I don't know where my numbers are when I'm on my computer. Oh, here, 464 members. So there's my numbers on Facebook and 3,436 members on Meetup. Okay. So that's how I'm actually building my business, is that each lane on Teachable has its own Facebook group, has its own Meetup group. And that's how I'm attracting new clients. But again, if you're really busy and you don't want that one-on-one, you can think, how can I create some sort of a digital product that can be making money while I'm sleeping or while I'm working with my one-on-one client? How can I make some money on the back end that I don't have to physically, I can create the product once and sell it over and over and over and over again. And so anyway, that's what we're doing to build a better business. Sherry's got a course. I have courses. Linda has courses. So if that's something you're interested in, just do a little homework on the front end. If that's going to be some of your products. And we just went through the whole series because each month we take a different topic. So when we went through the series back in May, we talked about what was your free offer. And then in June, we talked what was your mid-level. And then in July, what was your core? And then in August, what was your home run? And part of those offers was everything from one-on-one, working with a client one-on-one, to having courses, to having masterminds, to having a five-day challenge, to maybe doing a summit. I mean, there was all kinds of products that we talked about putting into our bag of tricks, if you will, so that when clients come to us, there's products that they're looking for. So is any comments that Linda or Sherry, do you want to make any comments here on how you decided what products you wanted to do? And you get more clarity as you go along. I've decided I don't mind public speaking, but I don't want to make public speaking an end product for me, because I'm trying to get away from having to punch a time clock. And if I have a public speaking calendar, and that's my goal, is to fill up public speaking gigs, all of a sudden I just have another job. It's like I have to punch a time clock again. And I'm all about passive income and not having to punch the time clock. So for me, the courses are where I put a lot of my energy, because I want to be able to write it once and sell it 1,000 times, because I want it to be passive income. So again, different folks have a different focus on what they want their products and services to be. Linda, how did you decide what you wanted your products and services to be? I already know what they are, but how did you decide that that's what you wanted them to be?
Yeah, there's something I wanted to mention just in regard to what you were saying and some things that were said earlier. You don't want to be a slave to a time clock. I mean, that you don't have time freedom if you have to work every hour directly for the dollars that come in. But I've heard it said by some basically gurus that when you create content, whether it's a course, a blog post, a podcast, anything, you want to spend 20% of your time creating the thing, but 80% of your time promoting it. So Kathy, once you have the course, you're out there promoting it in all the places. And, you know, if you do a podcast, start putting that out on all the socials and all the places mm-hmm. that you can. And that's how you start getting the momentum from that piece of effort. And we've all heard of ROI, return on investment, but there's another thing called ROTI, which is return on time invested. And that's where we want to be as smart as we possibly can.
Linda, thank you for that. Thank you so much for that. Yes. As a matter of fact, I was putting all of my videos that I did, my Zoom calls, once I capture the recording, I was putting them all on Vimeo. And I don't know, it's been a while back. Vimeo had gotten hacked for a better term. They actually were kind of held hostage, that they had to pay a certain amount of money or somebody was going to take down their site. And they ended up paying it, by the way, to save the site. And Mark said to me, he said, well, where else are your videos? And I said, what do you mean where else? And he goes, well, what happens if that would have happened and they would have taken down the site? And he said, you probably should at least have another channel as a backup. So I did start putting my videos over on YouTube. And of course, we've all heard that YouTube is a great search engine. And YouTube, like, here's my Vimeo videos and here's my YouTube views way up here. So YouTube is getting tons more views than what my Vimeo was getting, because YouTube is such a great search engine. And so I do take my Vimeo link to put over into my academy as my replays, because when somebody finishes a Vimeo video, it keeps them only looking at your videos. Whereas if you're on YouTube, it'll spit them out to, you know, race cars or Dancing with the Stars or whatever that person likes to watch, because YouTube's trying to keep them on the channel. So it does take them away from some of your videos, but it's a great marketing tool, and I'm getting tons of views over there, more than I can imagine. And so, yeah, Sherry said she's going to be adding YouTube this season for her podcast. Yeah. And you can, and if you don't want to make your podcasting channel automatically drop over into your social media, your YouTube can drop over into your social media, Sherry. You can do it either way and make it automatically published to your social media every time you put a video there. So anyhow, Linda, how did you decide though that you wanted to actually do a course and you didn't want to do public speaking as maybe your end product, your big product, or you didn't want to, you know, do in-person coaching, one-on-one coaching? What prompted you to actually do the course?
I would say it has more to do with scale and impact. So I had been doing one-on-one coaching, but I wanted to go to group because I felt that for X amount of hours to create the product and then X amount of hours to engage with the members weekly, I could have a lot more impact for the time invested, and honestly, more income for the time invested, because once the course was created, if we do a weekly coaching call for an hour, or even if it goes long, I mean, that's an hour for a handful of people or 25 people. It's the same hour, and then it's the income the price point of the course times X amount of people for 1 hour a week, in essence, once the content is created. So I just felt that was the direction I wanted to go versus the much more time intensive one-on-one coaching and the preparation for each person and all of those things.
Yeah, I agree. And that was my thought process as well. Sherry, how about you? How did you come up with what your products are? What was your thinking?
I see Sarah's wheels turning. We are making her think. I can see that it's having a positive impact. I'm glad I asked or made the comment. Where was my end goal? My end goal was 5 years of public speaking, but I needed my process was I wrote a book, added a course, want to get out there and public speak for max of 5 years. And then, create and scale by having other speakers go out and do the speaking for me. So I am creating a speaking network myself on people that speak on disabilities.
So you want to create this whole product of speakers that as parents and schools and whatever organizations need this information, you've got this whole arsenal of speakers that can go out and have the information they're looking for.
Yes. So I actually have a whole series of masterclasses that I do not teach. So one of the things that people can do is they can buy one masterclass or they can buy the entire school year's worth. And none of them are me.
Okay. Interesting. So when you put those together, Sherry, how did you put those together that they're not you?
I've looked at everybody who's gone through my course. So those are the first picks.
Okay.
Of who gets to participate as a masterclass. I've also looked for experts through other podcasts, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm looking at who can give information that will help enhance and build on my subject matter and really help support my clients. So I'm also looking at right now the packaging of it and how it all works together. That's part of the reason I'm moving to Kajabi, because they have better ways of packaging the material and creating quizzes. So I have to think about CEUs and professional development along the way with everything that I'm doing. And so I need to create pathways that people will get continuing ed.
And that's sometimes if stuff. Yeah, if you're dealing with a board somewhere that requires continuing ed, which everybody that's licensed in all of these states, they're usually dealing with a board like the nursing board, the cosmetology board, the, you know, the accounting, the attorneys, they all have to have CEUs. That's a built-in audience if you have any products that you're putting together for any of those groups. I teach for the Board of Cosmetology, and my class that I teach is certified. And so it's a built-in audience because the cosmetologists have to have so many hours every year to maintain their license. And so all I have to do is, it's no effort. I just have to show up the last quarter right before their license is due, because they all wait till the last minute. And because, you know, nobody loves to sit in class. So they wait till the last minute. And I just put it out there that I'm doing, you know, so many credit hours and here's the cost. And they don't even question the money or anything. They just show up because they have to have the CEUs and they're under the wire now to get their CEUs in time to keep their license. And I always have a full classroom every time I do those. So again, as a built-in audience, if you're looking for some fast cash, that's a built-in audience for you. And it's really not a lot of work to get it approved for the CEUs. You have to submit your course to that board and they give you the whole template. They go, here's what it has to look like for us to approve it. And as long as you write it according to their template, it's very likely going to get approved. So that's just another option of putting together courses. And that's another whole sideline that I do and that Sherry is working on as well. So think about how you can tweak whatever it is that you do and make it a CEU. So that's kind of fun. Any other comments,
Sarah,
before we go?
Sarah, was this helpful? Was this too much?
It wasn't too much. It was helpful. I got like 3 pages in it.
Well, Sarah, we're glad that you're here. So join us. We're here every month on the free call. And next month, we're actually talking about blogging. So that's right up your alley since you have a blog already. And so, yes, please join us. And if you're interested in the mastermind, we're all in the mastermind together. So if you're interested, you can just go to KathyBenner.com and click through. And for whatever mastermind you're interested in, this one is Build a Better Business. But I give two for the same price. It's a $25 a month membership fee. And so you could be in the Build a Better Business and the bloggers, or the Build a Better Business and how to create a masterclass. I mean, there's, you know, you can look around and see what might interest you, but you are invited to join if that's something that you think you might want to do. And we are here every month on the free one is the second Friday of every month at 10 a.m. It's the same Zoom code all the time. So you can just put it on your calendar and that way, you know, you won't lose the link. Sometimes if I'm busy, I'm like, oh my gosh, that call starts in 2 minutes. Where's that link? Yeah, and so I just put them on my calendar now. And
my last day at the picture framing shop is September the 30th. And so my full-time date, thank you, is approaching. And this feels good just to like, even carving time out of my schedule to sit and like think about my business and to be with other people who also want to sit and think about their business and getting these other perspectives. It's been helpful. Thanks.
Good. Well, we're so glad that you're here. Yes. We love that you're here. Sarah put over in the chat, for us, it's creativehomeorganizing.com, creativehomeorganizing.com. So make a note of that, visit her site. And again, she said she's busy, but you know, if you know some folks, refer them over to her. She can decide if she has room in her schedule or not. And Sarah, I might be calling you for my girlfriend that's really struggling.
I'll come to Canal Winchester.
Yeah. Now, where are you located? You're in Columbus?
Yeah.
Where, what area? around Columbus.
Close to the Franklin Park Conservatory.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm working with a real estate investor that has, she's flipping a unit right now, right there in Park Towers.
Oh, yeah.
And across the street from Franklin Park. So, yeah. So I've been there a lot in the last couple of days working with her. Yeah.
Help us Pennsylvania girls out. What part of Columbus is that? Where is that on the circle?
Oh, right in the middle.
Right in the middle, but a little closer to the east. It's kind of in the, if the outer belt goes around Columbus, it's kind of in the middle, but on the east side, closer right. Your direction, Sherry. Sherry's in Pennsylvania.
Okay. Me too.
Yeah, well, that's right. Linda is too. Yeah.
Right. Okay. But we're on opposite sides of Pennsylvania.
I'm closer to you, Sarah, way closer.
Yeah.
Something that I am interested, I don't really have any role models to talk to about, but just planting a seed maybe for future conversations. I do like the idea of being a traveling organizer and started out with thinking of, you know, my friends in Atlanta. Now that I'm quitting my regular gig, going full-time organizing, I could take like a week-long gig in Atlanta or you know, and I don't really know anybody who's doing anything like that, so yeah, that's one of the things on in my brain about organizing that I don't see a lot of people doing.
I like that. Talk about the freestyle living. Oh yeah, you're right up our alley, Sarah. Yep. You're right there with how we're thinking. Sherry's just traveled clear to Texas and back on speaking gigs.
Yeah.
Texas, Arkansas, and Oakland, California.
And you were in Florida not long ago on a speaking gig.
And now I'll be doing Columbus, Illinois, somewhere close to Chicago, but not in Chicago, and Ottawa in October.
All right.
Yeah, and then we're all going back to Florida again. Yeah, it's all good.
Yes, I'll be in Florida in November.
Okay, perfect. Sarah, stay connected with us. And is there a way to connect with you on your website?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. creativehomeorganizing.com. Very good. So I will connect, and thank you for being with us today. So join us again. Click through on kathybenner.com and join, you know, join in on one of the masterminds. We'd love to have you. Any last comments from you, Linda?
This has been so good. And I just want to comment, Sherry, you're like on your way to world domination. I mean, you're so amazing creating your empire, and you put so much thought and clear thinking into what are going to be your next steps, and you're expanding and growing, and your influence is just increasing more and more, like the longer I know you. And Sarah, you want to hitch to that wagon? I mean, you're going to get some ideas for how to take over the whole world, I think.
And that's why I chose Sherry to be my co-host, my co-mod on this particular event. And then Linda, thank you so much. Linda joins in on a lot of my calls, a lot of my actual mastermind calls. And so Linda is a very integral part of our community as well. She's right there, always supporting and lifting up. And Linda, thank you for that. I appreciate that you're here as well. So Sarah, thank you. Sherry, as always, I'm glad to see you today, smiling, feeling better. And Linda, thank you again. And we will see everyone next time.
Have a great day.
Bye. Bye.